Yo, we're back. The Foul Hooked Whitey and Brandon Booty talking about Cairo Romano, Cuba, 2024, host a trip. And I left off after a tough day one with one of my favorite guides, Leo. On day two on this trip, I got to fish with a young man that I've never fished with before, who's good, who's competent. His name's Elder. Younger, mid-30s, early 30s, been doing it 9-10 years, so he's Elder savvy. And I didn't fish with Elder a year ago, but some of my clients did, and they really liked Elder. So I was looking forward to just the change, and I got this new guy I haven't fished with before. And, you know, I get into Elder's skiff in the morning, and the first thing I notice is, you know, Elder's got a pair of polarized glasses that the frame are fucking a brown trout print. So I knew right away this motherfucker ain't got any good shades. And so, you know, if you ever play basketball, you might size somebody up by what kind of kicks they're wearing.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that, you know, if they got a nice pair of basketball shoes, that necessarily means they're good. But, you know, when you were in junior high, you noticed that motherfucker wearing some Jordans, right?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, you did. So when I get into a skiff, you know, and I notice that this dude's got fucking Yellowstone Park commissary fucking polarized glasses on, I'm sitting there going, ooh, this dude ain't got any good shades. He's young, so he can see shit, but he doesn't have good shades. So I end up just fucking reaching into my pack and getting a brand new pair of Costas that I have as a backup pair. I fucking give them to him.
Hell yeah.
Oh, fuck. This kid basically guides millionaires. I mean, clearly on this day, he wasn't fucking, you know, guiding a millionaire, especially after my divorce, right? But, I mean, you know, this young man, Elder, he needed a good pair of shades. And I was not prepared to give up my backup sunglasses because I only had two pair total. And I've been in a skiff before where the motherfucker takes off fast and the shit blows off my fucking hat.
Oh, yeah.
Lose your shades. So you got to have backup. So I gave these shades to Elder, partly because I wanted to have a good day with him, but also because I like him and he needed it. So with Elder, we had a tough day, but we had a rewarding day. Compared to the day before, it was more overcast and just a shitty wind. Right? We're not seeing dick like all fucking morning. And to make matters worse, I forgot my lunch. You know, I tell you what, it's a weird thing about saltwater angling. It's lunches never matter more. I don't know if it's the fact that you're up on that standing on that skiff all morning for 3-4 hours and you're just standing there with no fish around. I got a couple shots at small lemons, that morning, but that's it. And, you know, you get tired and you get fucking hungry. So leaving your lunch at the resort 45 minutes that way, okay, is not, you're not going back to get your lunch.
Yeah.
And, you know, not really having a good day one, and now the first part of my morning day two is a wash. I don't have my fucking lunch. And I'm a little fucking, little growly. Right? Just like,
yeah,
fuck
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Struggling. So Elder, this kid, he's going to turn a frown upside down. He goes to this blue hole, which just is basically some sort of indentation in the flats where a lot of fish collect. And within 2 minutes with a spin rod, he catches maybe a 3-pound Jack Trevally. Right? He takes this fish because he's going to cook me lunch.
That's awesome right
motherfucker,
there.
He's going to cook me lunch, okay? So it's windy as fuck. He catches this jack. We go to this island that gives us a little bit of break from the wind. He's got reused foil, and he's got a small bottle of gas. He gets this fucking jack, wraps this jack in this foil, gets all of his kindling and as much of dry shit as we could find. He starts a fucking fire, and he cooks me this fucking jack on this fucking island.
That's pretty cool right there.
I mean, I'm an angling driven person on these trips. I mean, I love the sights, I love the aesthetics, all of it. But this was a special moment for me.
Yeah.
Because this guy took an opportunity knowing it was going to be a tough fishing day. Knowing it was going to be a tough fishing day. And he fucking cooked me this jack on this fucking island. And as I sat on the skiff, eating this fucking freshly prepared jack, drinking my Cuban beer with it, I ended up having a wonderful fucking day with Elder.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool right there.
You know, I mean, and that's there's a lesson in that for guides, isn't there?
There is. I'm not going to cook you no trout.
No, but even in a tough fishing day, you can find something of value to a client.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
100%. That they can leave that day thinking, you know, it was tough fishing, but holy fuck, did we see a bunch of eagles?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Little things like that to a certain type of person, especially an outdoor person. And I was just impressed at how good it tasted and how he took care of me as a client.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right. I mean, he had a kind of a chance to show me some shit. So I ended up catching with Elder that day. Nada. Nothing other than that jack he caught and cooked for me. And when we, you know, rode back to the marina, it felt good. I had a good day with Elder, and I rewarded him with those Paracostas, which is literally going to fucking professionally help him.
Yeah, and that,
oh,
that,
dude,
that's awesome, because you're going to remember him cooking you that lunch forever.
Forever. Yeah. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, how I notice these shades is, you know, I bring these, you know, these sunglass wipes. So right off the bat, wiping my shades, hand it to him, and he's like, no, senor, not good for plastico. Because his fucking lenses were plastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you need glass polarized shades when you're a flats guy. So that was my day with Elder. Day three, I was with somebody that I really like, and his name's Kobe. Kobe is a Cuban guide that speaks unbelievable English. And Kobe is dry. Dry. Like, he's funny, and he's got a great personality. But you're going to have to kind of draw it out of him. Right? And Kobe told me right off the fucking bat, today's going to suck. Day three, windy, little bit more light, but still a very, very tough day of fishing with Kobe. And you know, when you take people on this trip, the whole fucking time, I'm sitting there thinking, how are my clients doing? I mean, I think about that.
You're probably wondering that. Every day,
because that's first. You know that. You know you've got a good host when he's sitting there having a struggling fishing, but he's worried about you.
Yeah, you're like, damn, I hope my clients are getting
fucking on. Dude. That was the whole deal. So we ended up fishing. I think I caught a couple of smaller bones, but it was still, we didn't see any permit. We didn't see any shark, and a lot of that had to do with those cooler temps I touched on earlier. They just weren't around. You just weren't seeing a lot of fish. I mean, they just weren't there. And when they're not there, they're not there. You might experience on the Bighorn River really not getting a bite.
Yeah,
being tough because fish are tough.
Yeah, but you know they're there because they're, you know.
Where are they going to go? Yeah, they're not exactly, going to deeper water in the ocean, right? But they're still there.
Yeah.
They weren't there, okay? And as we're driving back, just because, again, on that day, like I said, maybe a couple of small bones, we're driving back, and all of a sudden, we're coming up on Leo. And here's Leo with two of my best friends, a husband and wife, Jeff and Sue Fordham from here in Billings. And fuck, their motors broke down.
Dang.
I mean, they're not in the middle of nowhere, but they kind of are. And they had motor troubles all day. So we were actually picking them up to get them in my skiff, which is just me, take them back to the lodge, right? Because it's the end of the day. And as I go through this exchange of getting them on this skiff, we find out five other skiffs were having problems with their motor that day. So what, hey, Mr. What about, Host here, yeah, is like, fuck. Like, you know, I mean, there's a couple of cats on this trip that I didn't really know very well. I like them, but I didn't know them, and they were older. And God, no disrespect to, you know, possibly somebody being older and our 11 listeners out there, but they can be tougher. You know, they just can be tougher, right? The expectations are higher. They're not as flexible when shit goes awry. And when you have motor problems and you pay that money, you're sitting there thinking, motherfucker, why am I having motor problems?
Yeah.
So as I'm driving back with Jeff and Sue and my guide, I'm sitting there the whole time going, fuck.
Yeah, you're thinking like, damn,
fuck,
am I going to get, you know, you're full?
Yes, that's correct. So the good news is people did have varying problems within our group of five skiffs, but everybody took it in stride. It's Cuba.
Yes, you know? Shit happens.
And one of those guys that I was a little bit concerned about, you know, I was really impressed with him because he looked at me and said, they don't maintain these boats, Richard. Like, how can they?
Yeah.
Motherfuckers got an embargo. The parts are really hard to get in Cuba, straight up. So there's a lot of subtleties in fishing there. So, you know, day three, bust. So I'm halfway done with my week, and I got a couple of fucking 12-inch fucking pickles on the bighorn into my fucking net for the week. I mean, I just haven't caught dick, right? So then day four, I finally hook up with this other guy named Humberto that I've never fished with. And, you know, when I first got out with him, I was a little bit leery because, you know, I was seeing more bones than him. But the good news is it was warmer and it was bright sun. So we had a fucking shot. And that morning it came to fruition. I ended up catching a couple of decent bones, but I saw some great fish. So all of a sudden now, where things are starting to improve on day four. And I end up turning around, you know, excuse me, Humberto says, you know, after lunch, we'll go try for some tarpon. And you know, tarpon there in December is not for sure. Okay? So we go over to this area, which is basically an island with a bunch of fucking wooded structure around it. And fuck, within 2 minutes of pulling, there's a fucking pot of tarpon over there. One cast, two fish turn around, they're fucking fighting for it. Strip, strip, strip. The little motherfucker eats it, set it, he jumps, comes unbuttoned right away. The bigger one is still right fucking there. I do a short backhanded flip cast, he fucking eats it right away. And he's probably 25 pounds. Blowing the fuck up, boom, caught my fucking tarpon.
That's nice right there.
I mean, how about that? Yeah, how about that, though?
That's some luck. Nice luck to have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've gone 3.5 days with basically, you know, nothing fun happening outside of fucking Ronnie rocking and rolling in the bar, okay? And all of a sudden here, I'm into a nice group of tarpon, and, I mean, I get the luck of one coming unbuttoned, and the bigger one fucking right behind it eats it on one strip.
Yeah, that's some luck right there.
Well, the other thing that's cool is it's within 15 feet of where we're standing.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
that's, you know, tarpon, you know, I'm a decent tarpon guy, but, I mean, they're not like permit. They're not sketchy with a skiff. They're not sketchy with a boat. They fucking see that thing, they're going to come in and they're going to eat it. Tarpon are fun.
It doesn't get spooked with another one.
You'll hear, you catch a tarpon, whether it's 15 inches long or 75 pounds, and you'll hear people say, tarpon's a tarpon. And it's true. There's a little bit of a privilege in catching one on a fly rod.
Okay.
Yeah. What they do on a hook set is just, it's crazy for 5 minutes. The way they come out of the water. And if you catch a good one, seeing that girth of a belly as its tail moving and then splashing back into the water. Tarpon, you'll fish for tarpon at some point in your young life and you'll know what I'm talking about then. So after that, we went and caught some decent bones. And I ended up having a great day with Humberto. But much like Elder Shade situation, I'm watching a grown man guiding millionaires, which I'm not, clearly, cutting fluorocarbon tippet up to 30 pounds with his teeth.
Oh, damn.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I'll do that with 8 pound, but
I'm looking at Humberto and I'm saying, motherfucker, don't do that. That hurts just looking.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're driving back. We're done. I got a pair of fucking Sims guide pliers, three bills, good pliers. I look at Humberto. Boom. There you go. Got a good fucking cutter on him. You know, it's amazing. You know, I said from the onset, they don't have anything. And they don't.
Dude, that's crazy cutting that 30 pound with your teeth.
With his fucking teeth in front of me, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, cutting the tag end off with his fucking front teeth on hard fucking tippet material. So that's what it's like to fish in Cuba, right? So, you know, they help you out with that tarpon catch, and I helped him out. So that's the end of episode 2, the Foul Hooked Whitey and Brandon Booty, Cayo Romana, Cuba, out.